Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Nexus Podcast with Heather and Jimmy, your breakdown of all the important news in the world of Blizzard Entertainment. Tonight is May 5th, 2020. We're recording this live over at twitch.tv/DJTyrant. As always, you can catch previous episodes, nexuspodcast.com, available on all major platforms, Spotify, iTunes, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, all that good stuff, and follow the conversation throughout the week at #NexusPodcast. Old video episodes, youtube.com/DJTyrant, and we have a Facebook group as well. Just search Nexus Podcast on Facebook. How are you, Heather?
I'm good. We had some tactical updates I had to do, so now we're ready to go, and I'm a little frazzled, but we're ready now.
Well, you got a new computer, or a hand-me-down, so, yeah.
New to me, it counts.
New to you, yeah.
Yeah.
What we always like to do, though, is our Week in Geek. Mine's kind of similar to last time, still a lot of Animal Crossing, but I also started digging into the Final Fantasy VII remake. I've been streaming that.
Now, with the, I can't hear you. Oh, you're there. Okay. Now, you've been streaming it from your PlayStation onto Twitch?
Yeah.
That's exciting. Now, are you, like, talking during it, or are you just, like, started playing and just, like, throwing it on Twitch?
Yeah, I've been talking during it.
Okay. And just
commenting on things and how cheesy it is sometimes and all that good stuff.
What chapter are you on?
7, I think.
So what happened?
I just met Aerith for the second time in the church.
Okay. Okay. All right, now I know where not to talk. Because... my Week in Geek was playing Animal Crossing where I made an word, which is amazing. But I've watched the entire Final Fantasy VII Remake playthrough on various YouTube channels. So I'm like, I know that ending. And oh man, that ending. But I won't give any spoilers to you because that's
Yeah,
not
please
nice.
Don't.
But oh my gosh, I remember texting you several times during it and how pretty the game is. It is super pretty. What is that beeping? Is that me or you?
That's me talking to you. Trying to discreetly talk to you.
Oh, okay. That makes sense. I'm roboting? Okay, got it. So playing Final Fantasy or watching it has been a lot of fun because, God, it's gorgeous. And then, if anything, my other geeky stuff has been I've listened to 3 audiobooks this week, which is kind of fun. And I got a new computer. My brother just got a new computer built. He built one, and he gave me his old one, which is an upgrade for me. And had to update some drivers before we started recording, so that was kind of fun.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
Fun times. So. But yeah, digging into the big news of the week, only a couple hours before we kind of started putting the show together, Activision Blizzard had their Q1 2020 earnings call, so we kind of got a glimpse of how they've been doing with the lockdown and everything, and the numbers have all been pretty darn good for them. World of Warcraft continues to grow as far as subscriptions, and they attribute that a lot to the shelter at home stuff that's going around around the world. While Classic has been very strong in the East, so I'm assuming they mean like China and stuff like that, while retail... they said it was strong here in the Western side of the world. Hmm. So, yeah, the bullet points were really more like WoW is doing well, getting a lot more increased engagement. And I think that's partially due to the reception of Shadowlands so far. Because definitely a lot of naysayers of Battle for Azeroth have kind of come around on Shadowlands, I feel like. I think that's definitely brought interest into World of Warcraft for people to return and check it out before the expansion, and also the XP boosts.
Yes.
I think have brought a lot of people who I know were like, oh yeah, I was kind of waiting to level up some alts and stuff. And so now there's a more of an incentive to do it.
That's on my to-do list.
Yeah, I'm still working on my Horde character.
Traitor.
I know. But I got to unlock Volpera.
That's true.
They're so cute.
I've seen some people make them, and they're very cute.
Yeah. Hearthstone engagement improved as well, driven by the Battlegrounds mode and strong execution live operations. That means the new expansion, which did come out. And actually, I did play a little bit of the new expansion. It's pretty fun. Demon Hunter is a lot of fun.
You love Demon Hunters in general. Like, I don't think you could ever go wrong with that.
It's hard to steer me wrong with any Demon Hunter content. Overwatch engagement increased in March as well with the seasonal event that happened to coincide with the kind of the start of the stay-at-home stuff.
Wasn't that when Owl started too?
No, Owl started in February.
Oh, okay.
Before all this stay-at-home stuff. There were about five homestands before they started canceling things, I think. Four or five weeks of stuff. Were. Yeah. And then the news I know you're most excited about. Diablo Immortal remains on track to begin regional testing in the middle of this year.
I'm so excited. I want to lay in bed and play on my phone. That's what I want to do. So bad. Well, other than my Switch. Yeah, this will be fun. But that's exciting too, that like they actually had some good updates. Like, I know this is like a public release, but at the same point, it's nice to know that they're not like doom and gloom, because you could also see like, oh, they're reaching out to like fix all these different things because of desperation. But it's here, it's like, no, we've been doing good. Like, here's how we've been doing good.
Yeah. And you have to also realize this is massaged and put in specific language to kind of downplay any sort of negativeness. Because, I mean, the Hearthstone thing is interesting how they word it. Engagement improved sequentially. So, like, does that mean they improved, like, kind of what they expected it to? Or, like, what exactly does sequentially mean?
That is a lot of Silicon Valley jargon.
I mean, I know what sequentially, like, literally means. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Yeah. That's true.
But, yeah, in this context, it's just interesting. But it seems like Blizzard is doing well. Activision as a whole is doing well. I know the Warzone mode for Call of Duty, the latest Call of Duty, is doing really well. I actually helped with an event that Chipotle put on with that game, which was kind of fun.
Yeah, we talked about that.
It was interesting. We learned that your Twitch account gets locked out from PMing people at about 50 separate private messages. So we had to scramble and get new accounts. So that was fun.
Oh, no.
Yeah. But yeah, Chipotle really put in a lot of work for that event. I mean, they gave away... There was 3,000 free burritos from the hourly things, and then we had like 500 codes we give away for people that were just chatting in the stream.
Oh, so, that is cool. I was at work when that happened. I'm super sad that I missed it.
I was able to get my sister some. I was like, here's the text code. No, the worst part was chat figured out what the code was for the third hour, and they were gone as soon as chat figured it out.
Oh, no. Yeah, internet people are very smart for that type of thing.
Yeah, Activision is doing well. Obviously, their employees are all working from home right now, but it doesn't seem to have slowed too much stuff. I mean, we've seen Echo release for Overwatch. We've seen patches release for Overwatch as well. Mm-hmm. We've seen Shadowlands go live as far as the alpha. I mean, that's been getting constant updates. Patches have been coming out like normal. So if you didn't know that they were working from home, you would think that they were still in the office.
Yeah.
And we'll actually mention another story about this in relation to Overwatch League. But yeah, this work from home stuff is pretty fascinating.
Well, it's nice when you have like a company based on computers that can take their computers home and work on computers. Mm-hmm. So of course, there's always that dynamic of like working with person to person, having meetings and that type of thing. But yeah, if you're able to work from home and have teleconferencing, it's pretty impressive. Like I can tell you, like I have teacher staff meetings that are a lot more productive over Zoom than they are in like person.
Yeah.
So there's some productivity changes for sure, sometimes for the positive and negative.
That does end up happening. but as far as other big news, an old friend of ours kind of cropped up that we didn't We haven't forgotten about him, but he's been quiet. Mm-hmm. So tell us about this interview with Mike Morhaime, the former CEO of Blizzard.
So I forgot what date it was, but it was a couple, like I think a week or so ago. We skipped a week. But there was a fireside chat by Seth Chassel. I always say his name wrong, from New York Times. And he had an interview with Mike Morhaime, and they got to talk for like about 28 minutes about video games and the state of games and the industry. And I took a few notes because there was a lot of stuff that I thought was really interesting. For example, Mike brought up the fact that he's invested with his wife into two companies that are coming up. And a lot of the colleagues from these companies Mike has worked with before with Blizzard stuff. For example, the first website or company is Venn, V-E-N-N. I feel like we've heard of them before, but I don't remember. But he put it as, or on their website, they call themselves, Venn is a kind of TV network for the streaming generation aimed at gaming, pop culture, esports audiences. So it starts in July 2020. And Mike basically said it's lifestyle content on gaming, which I think is like genius. Like we will eat that up so well. You're talking about like pop culture and games and stuff like that.
Yeah. I mean, I was a sucker for, I mean, you remember how obsessed I was Samsung. With WCG Ultimate Gamer when that came out on Sci-Fi. For those of you who don't know, this was a video game reality show / competition back in like 2007, 2008 or something like that. All the episodes are online, so I definitely recommend checking it out. There's a lot of what's most fascinating is taking a look at who was on the show and like where they are now, and probably 90% of them are in the industry still in some way, shape or form. And it's interesting to see like who did the best like after the show. And I feel like maybe Swoozie did the best, because he has a huge YouTube career. You know his videos, yeah.
I do.
Yeah.
So it's kind of neat. So this whole like new TV network, I'm assuming it's gonna be all online based, that is now starting up this summer. I'm kind of excited to check it out, because it's always fun to watch kind of the behind the scenes stuff and the lifestyle of esports, other than just watching the competitions, because I can only handle so much fast paced coverage.
I'm curious if they already have content prepped to go for this July launch, or I would assume so, but I guess we'll find out.
Yeah, and so it's neat because the co-CEOs are Ariel Horn, who actually did the production efforts of BlizzCon and League of Legends, which is really cool. So he has a huge experience. And then the other co-CEO is Ben Kusin, who worked on like projects like The Sims and Fear and Medal of Honor. So like the CEOs are pretty impressive people. And I just love how it's kind of like in the little bubble of like Blizzard employees or ex-Blizzard employees. And then the other company that Mike mentioned was rallycry.gg. And on their website, they call it, our mission is to serve the millions of every other, of millions of every
day of other gamers, everyday gamers.
Of gamers looking for a more organized way to connect, play, and compete with each other. And Mike summarized it as competitive esports for the rest of us. Like, we're not all pro players. And I was like, that's a really cool like motto. Like I've heard something like that before, to find out that the owners are the Tespa brothers, the twins, Adam and Tyler Rosen.
Yeah, so, they are quite the pair.
Of course.
I don't know if you've ever seen it, just an interview with them, you can just tell immediately how quirky they are. Just like, I say that in a positive way, because
we love them.
They turn the quirkiness into these passion projects, obviously starting with Tespa, which turned into this huge ordeal. Heroes of the Dorm
was what
came off of that. Oh yeah,
they're good t-shirts.
They're both really great passionate people, and I've been very lucky. I've actually gotten to sit with both of them and just talk esports stuff over various events. So
well, I think the best part is that they don't like put themselves on a higher pillar. Like, they will happily just sit and talk to you. Like, even if, like, I remember, I think you were talking to them, I was like, oh, who are those people? Like, oh, the people that are running the event. I'm like, are you serious?
Yeah.
Like, just sat and talked to them, like, no big deal. Because they're just so passionate about it. So, yeah, they're creating rallycry.gg. And I don't know if it's starting just yet, but I know it's in the works. And if Mike's invested in them, like, that definitely shows, like, the passion projects that he's investing is growing. So Those are two sites I'm definitely bookmarking and definitely keeping like our repertoire of like any updates on esports, because they're both going to cover it. And it's nice to have another avenue of like, besides just like MMO Champion or Blizzard's website, to have more community based.
Yeah, but, for sure. Yeah. And kind of speaking on that, this is a little bit of a tangent, but we've actually seen like a couple of esports kind of directories pop up lately to help discovery for these esports. We've seen Juked, .gg, J-U-K-E-D. That's basically like a directory for esports on whatever platform. And then Loaded, is it Loaded or is it PopDog? Let's see. Mm-hmm. I can't remember. Sorry, it's two separate companies, but they're owned by the same people. But yeah, PopDog, they actually just released a directory as well. So if you load that up, you can just go and sort by game of what's going on. This is more like for finding new content creators that you're interested in. They mm-hmm. do Twitch and Mixer and YouTube and all that as well. So that is really good. But also Twitch actually opened up one as well. If you go to their homepage, you can actually see they've added tabs up to the top for esports and for music. So they're, just giving more discoverability to those different categories of broadcasts.
Well, it's nice to have it kind of all sent to like one central location. So if you're a fan, like, oh, I'm just going to Google this and I'll find what competitions are happening or what's going on behind the scenes. So it's a lot of fun to think about that, you know, it's becoming fancy official, if that makes sense. It makes sense in my head.
It's growing up.
It's growing up. There we go. Because we're actually growing up. I'm turning 33 this month. Okay.
Oh my gosh.
Anyway, I know. Midlife crisis. as I say, winking. But back to the interview. So then it was neat that Seth was talking with Mike just about the general, climate for video games, for the industry overall. And Mike was saying how he's really encouraging to see a bunch of indie companies growing and having the funding to grow. So he says the indie market or climate is definitely something to keep excited about. The next part was how lucky the gaming industry has been to work from home during all this COVID issue, which is what we were talking about earlier too, about with Blizzard. You don't really notice that there is has been a work from home order, because it's not getting derailed or delayed as much as people would think. And then let's see, Seth asked a question about during this time, what do you think about the world being reintroduced to video gaming? And it's true, Mike was like, you know, we know video games left and right. It's not new to us, but a lot of people are staying home. Maybe they're, you know, logging back into WoW. Maybe they're leveling characters. Maybe they're finding another platform to play the game, like on their Switch. So it's kind of a nice time among the chaos to be reintroduced to it. And it was interesting because he also asked Mike, you know, looking back in the past, hindsight's 2020, what have you learned as a lesson? And Mike was focusing on the power of sharing experiences in your game and how it's that much easier to do now. So back in the day, if you were doing a raid, you would do a raid of 40 people, you would share that experience with your friends of 40 people. But now you don't necessarily have to raid to those same people over and over again, but you can share it through streaming or through Twitch or with other platforms. But the biggest struggle, he said, that Mike has noticed that with MMOs, specifically WoW, is the accessibility of like easy to learn, hard to master issue, and needing to also play with the same people over and over again. You don't necessarily have to become a master to raid or beat that boss, because you can do looking for raid or looking for groups, and you can just go in there and fix it, but you also don't build that connection with like a raid party that you have in a guild. So you can share it, but you also can't share it in that connective way. So it's that hard balance, he was saying. And it's still a lesson that's trying to be figured out as well. He also asked about the love to hate, love to love issue with Blizzard lately. And he kind of mentioned mm-hmm. some of the stuff about Hearthstone and a few other sour notes over Blizzard the past few years. And Mike was so chill and cool with it. He just even said too, he's like, look, we had issues when I was there at Blizzard. So I have a lot of friends that still work there. And he said, the one thing you can count on is the community giving feedback. and we need to make it a priority to listen to our community. So while we love to hear all the wrong issues, we also can hear the good issues from it. That's true with any, you know, at least with the community, they do tell you what they're thinking for better or worse. So you can never really say, oh, we didn't know there was a problem. No, you kind of did. And then they talked about monetization of games. And the biggest difficulty was trying to choose a correct model for income or money for the type of game, like microtransactions versus subscription, or a one-time payout of like $60. And then the last note was basically gaming distribution and projects. You know, luckily right now in the industry, Mike was saying that there's a lot of options to get funded. So that's only a positive. You know, you don't have to go to the main, you know, big old investors. You can go to a lot of different other things. You can do Kickstarter for some games even. So it was a really good, like, short interview of questions and answers. And it was kind of nice to just kind of see him talk. And yeah, I think it's the fun part as we get older and growing up in this industry is you get to talk to people and be like, remember when? And oh, remember how that didn't work or this works? And brainstorming, it's kind of fun to see video games be a business.
Yeah, and I think it's good to see him post Blizzard talking more candidly, obviously, about this. I mean, he isn't, I'm sure he has some restrictions on what he can and can't say, obviously, but
yeah,
the reins are definitely loosened now that he's no longer an employee there.
Well, and he's also investing in other companies with other old employees, so you know the passion is still there. It's not like he just been like, I'm done off the face of the earth. He did mention their 5-year-old kid and everything, so that was kind of cute. But yeah, that was a fun interview to see, and it was nice to kind of have that recorded.
Yeah, for sure. And then you had another story here, which is a fun one.
Yeah, and it was like the reason we took a week or two off. We kind of missed some stuff. That was a week or so ago. Blizzard had Take Your Child to Work Day, but you couldn't go to work because we're all working from home. But they did a virtual edition. And so if you go to Blizzard.com on their news website, you can actually find the link. And it is adorable. There are 3 how-to video tutorials from Samwise. Samwise Didier, is that how you say it?
Yeah, Didier.
And they are, I'm trying to remember what they are. It's really cute. You can draw an orc.
There's an orc, dwarf, and a pandaren.
Which is really cute. And you need to download PDF.
Those are like the 3, I think, favorite characters Samwise, for sure.
Well, doesn't he have a book? He has a book about dwarves and also the Pandarian people. So yeah, those are his like favorites. And then there's also a story time with Chris Metzen, which is adorable. And I didn't realize this, which I feel like I was told this, but I connected till now. Chris wrote a book of World of Warcraft. And so he read, so you have Chris, I guess, in his own office reading you a book called The Snow Fight of Warcraft Tale. And that's adorable.
Totally unrelated, but I'm jealous of that home office.
Oh, who isn't, man? He has like Captain America and he has like all these massive figures. And yeah, no, he's earned his nerd cred. I think I see some seating from the bottom.
Yeah, but, probably.
Yeah, so I thought it was kind of cool. Like, take your kids to work and we get to go to work with Samwise and Chris Metzen. That's kind of fun. Let's see. Do you want to dive into the games?
Yeah. What we always like to kind of start off with is World of Warcraft, because that's probably the most dynamic game. But we had some really fun stuff that we found this past week.
A couple weeks.
There is a fan-made anime version of World of Warcraft by YouTuber Star Duke, made in the style of JoJo Bizarre's Adventure Golden Wind. And it's really good. WoW put them up side by side and they're like almost identical. It's so cool though.
And it features like Thrall and Jaina and
Sylvanas.
What's the orc that tried to kill Sylvanas but didn't? Garrosh? No. The one with the necklace of his son. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Yeah, that one. But it features like all these cool characters in WoW.
Sarafang.
There we go. Thank you. But yeah, it's just a cool like anime music version, and it has all the WoW characters. And it's just like, yeah, give that YouTuber some credit. They made something cool.
Okay, I actually have something that I just found that I'm going to talk about because it's very interesting.
Okay, very interesting.
But I will, I'll send you the link on Discord so you can click on it. But there's a new job listing for an unannounced mobile project, looking for a senior test lead in their QA department. So obviously we can speculate all we want on this, but it's good to know that they're still fishing.
Pet battles.
I still don't understand why pet battles are not like a mobile thing. Pokemon Go
Blizzard.
I know there was that Jason Schreier article about from Kotaku. Should
we put
like a
timestamp on this and be like, "Hey, we called it now."
sure. Along with everyone else.
Exactly.
No, but yeah, I just saw that a couple hours ago, 5 hours ago. They posted this. So, yeah, Blizzard's still hiring through all this too, which is kind of fascinating.
Well, we have a friend who just joined QA and she's working from home too. Mm-hmm. So they're definitely having that flexibility of working from home is not bad.
For sure.
Let's see. Mobile Well, you know what? They did mention mobile titles at BlizzCon in 2018.
Yeah, they've been talking about mobile stuff for a while.
I'm curious of like what, if there's even like a leak of who the host company is. Like with Diablo Immortal, that's being run by, what's that company in China?
NetEase.
Did we know it was NetEase in the beginning when they started looking for hires?
No.
It was in-house hire.
It was in-house, yeah.
Okay. But 30 positions, fancy. That's a big team.
That's a pretty big team, yeah. I mean, that's kind of what their incubator division has been doing, is just kind of trying to recreate what happened with Hearthstone, which was just a really small team, and they made a game that became very successful.
Come on, pet battles. That's the one thing in WoW I don't do, because I wish I could just do it at home.
Yeah, just lying down in bed playing pet battles.
Yes, exactly. Well, that's exciting. That's also good for them.
Also, just give us back the mobile auction house.
Oh, yeah, they took that away, didn't they?
They did. To be fair, they revamped it recently, so.
Okay. And they didn't break the game?
They didn't break the game.
Okay.
As far as in-game stuff, though, Children's Week started on Saturday or Friday. Friday, yeah. Runs through the 7th of May. So if you're hearing the recording, you might have missed it, but if you haven't, you have a little bit of time to get through it. There are no new items for 2020, so if you've done the quests for last year's iteration of Children's Week, there probably isn't anything new for you, but Children's Week is actually one of my favorite events in game. Just because leading an orphan around and showing them stuff is kind of entertaining. And there's cute pets you can get from it.
The lizard looks really cute. I'm looking at the pictures right now. There's like a green lizard. Mm-hmm. So the only thing is, I'm thinking, if it's a Boralis child, they're just going to ask if you have scurvy over and over and over again. And that's going to get really annoying. Because their voices are very whiny child, like very good voice acting. But man, I don't want to know if I have scurvy. Like, well,
almost that Cockney English accent.
Mm-hmm. And that, they have the wine very well done. As a teacher, it's a very good wine.
Yeah.
Not drinking. But that's kind of neat. Hopefully they can. Only 7 days.
Yeah, the Children's Week is a pretty short event. As far as other in-game stuff, the weekly bonus event this week is for Mists of Pandaria Time Walking, and that's through next Tuesday. So if you're wanting to re-experience or experience for the first time some of those dungeons from Mists of Pandaria, go ahead, queue up, and have some fun. There's some good ones in there.
They're so pretty.
Yeah,
I should go back and do that because I never did a lot of them during the game because I was never that good. They're so pretty. Let's see. And then I know that there's also some WoW hotfixes that just came out today in World of Warcraft. Stuff like restoring one deleted character every 7 days versus 15. Some dungeons and raids and WoW Classic stuff. Mainly problems or bug issues in WoW Classic. Nothing too crazy in the hot fixes. If you want to see them, go ahead and check it. But they're fixes. They fixed them. It's all good. Yep. Let's see what else we have.
The challenge alpha is continuing, and I continue to just keep seeing people's reactions, and they're all pretty positive, especially for Torghast. People seem to really dig in that.
That's exciting.
Yeah. I did check it out a little bit. I fired it up and checked out the revamped character customization, and it's really nice. Ooh. I like it.
Now, do they have other faces yet, or they only have like the one or two samples of each face
for humans? I don't remember. I didn't go through humans too much.
That's where I'm going first thing. Let's see.
Overwatch stuff. There's actually quite a bit of Overwatch news from the last couple of weeks and the Overwatch League. Did you want to dig into the developer update?
Oh, yeah. Okay. So, like, 2 days after we recorded last, let's see, Jeff Kaplan came out with a quick update of Overwatch and what they're coming up with. And it was really funny because it was very made at home, because he even admitted right at the very beginning, he's like, I'm recording this with my phone taped to a box. And he wanted to thank essential workers. He also talked about, you know, how great the IT and Overwatch team have been working during all of this. Also wanted to thank the video crew for Blizzard, because this apparently is the 50th dev update video he's done.
That's incredible to me. Like, I feel like there hasn't been that many, but also there's, I guess, 50. I'm not surprised that there's been that many.
And I think the nice part is that they're not also, some of them are really great updates, but also some are just like low key, like, hey, we did this cool thing.
We call them quality of life updates.
Yes. They are improving the communication wheel. Apparently, a lot of people have been saying, hey, I want to be able to pick the voice over, or even just the voice commands for my character, like fall back or to move forward or to get on the payload. And he said that they heard the feedback. They're working on trying to set up the setting or communication wheel for you and how you want to play your character. So if you want to be taking the lead, like I hope most people do, because I don't know what I'm doing, you can do that. So that's kind of exciting.
I think the more interesting part about this is, if I remember what I heard correctly, he said that they went and re-recorded all the dialogue for all of these options.
They had the dialogue already.
Okay.
I know that the voice actors, they read a boatload of lines every time they go in, and they only use a few of them. So I think they had them. If not, they re-recorded. That wouldn't be a big surprise either, because the VO team is amazing. I would love to have a tour of the VO team, hint, hint. <and see. laughs> She keeps offering at BlizzCon every time. If I wish I could bring all my fans to go to that VO team, I would love to go visit and just put it out there. The next thing they mentioned for updates was priority queuing. So apparently, because I am a huge competitive match player in Overwatch, totally lying. If you were to join a match and it collapses due to someone leaving, you would normally have to re-queue at the beginning and wait forever and a day to get back into a new match. They're fixing that.
Yes. As someone who has started queuing as DPS, which is the longest queue times, and this is the most infuriating thing to have happen, is you pop into a game after waiting 10 minutes and someone drops for whatever reason and you're booted out of the game and put right back to the start of the line. This will be greatly appreciated. So it's, think of like you're in line at Disneyland, you get in line and the ride breaks down. And they're like, oh, you got to get back to the front of the line, instead of, oh, here's a front of the line pass. That's kind of what it is.
Yeah, it's a front of the line pass.
Yeah.
Only for competitive, though.
Only for competitive.
Yeah. And then he was also talking about how they're still working on future patch ideas. For example, one of the patch notes will be when you click on a link in the game, it will actually open it to a website. Now, I put mainly in console. I don't know what that meant.
Okay, so that helps mostly in console because it would open the web browser on the console. And I don't know. Does Switch have a browser on the console?
It has the Opera thing.
It has something, yeah.
Yeah.
But this will just make it a much more seamless
way to get the information.
Way to get through the patch notes. What I thought was so funny is because I'm on Twitter way too much. I actually saw the developer that implemented this, how excited she was to see Jeff mention this.
He thanked her.
Yeah.
He actually mentioned, he's like, yeah. Oh yeah, I forget her name. It begins with a J or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's super excited about it. He's like, thank you for her doing that. Because even now, like when we were doing the notes for this, I was going to the Battle.net application on my computer and I would click on the news tab and I wanted to click on the link to copy and paste data and stuff. And I couldn't open it from the app on Battle.net on my computer to go to Chrome.
It's not going to fix that though.
I know, but still, like, that's an idea. Like, I want that to also work here. Like, spread
you
this.
You should
app.
Put that. There's like a idea thing in the Battle.net app. You should submit a thing.
I should be like, copy Overwatch's idea onto PC.
Yeah.
Let's see. And then the other idea was workshop modes. They're going to add functionality features to that. For example, one of the big ones they're excited for is night mode. So on your map, you can play at nighttime.
That would be awesome because Rialto, you only get to play that at nighttime during the archives event.
Oh.
Both that and cool. A couple of the other maps are nighttime for that.
Yeah. I'm just thinking how pretty it's going to be.
Oh, yeah. It'll be pretty for sure.
So that's going to be in their workshop idea. I think that was about it. It was a really short.
For the main game, yeah.
Yeah. It was fun.
But digging into the Overwatch League stuff. A change that I think a lot of people will be happy about. They are changing how hero pools will work. It will now only apply to Masters or Grandmaster level players in the live game on competitive and Overwatch League. And so they're going back to the hero usage being the determining factor for picking who gets banned out for that particular week. And I believe that's coming up this week. So probably Thursday this will go live, I think, for everyone. So I won't have to ever worry about hero bans ever again because I'm never going to be in Masters.
Wait, pause.
Yes.
So before last time we recorded, the hero bans were for everything.
Yes.
They're scratching that.
They're half scratching it.
Half scratching.
So if you're from bronze to diamond, you don't have to worry about hero pool bans.
So if I'm playing competitively.
You won't have to worry about it. It doesn't matter to you. It doesn't apply to your games.
Okay.
It doesn't apply to my games either. So.
Okay.
So only Masters and Grandmaster players will have to worry about that. And obviously Overwatch League.
And you said something about... never mind. You answered that. Okay. Cool.
I tried to answer all questions.
You did. You explained it very well.
There is a lot of drama happening in Overwatch League. So we're going to try to dig into some of this and... kind of figure out what's going on. The biggest kind of question mark right now, and it's still a fluid like story, it maybe it's resolved itself at this point, but Vancouver Titans have been in kind of this weird upheaval from the players. Like, half their players removed the Vancouver Titans like tag from their Twitter accounts or any mentions of their logo. But Jijanu and the head coach left the Vancouver Titans recently. That was an official statement by the team. From all we know, they don't actually have a full team right now, and they're supposed to play this weekend, which is going to be really interesting. The current rumor is that they're going to pick up some tier two is what we call
bench
it,
rumors.
Which means what's it called? Contenders. One of the contenders teams that are playing currently.
What?
So, why? Yeah. We don't know, and we're probably not going to find out for a while.
I want to know now.
But, yeah. some dispute over how they were being coached or how the team was being run or how the players were being treated. Who knows? It could be a number of things.
That's the case.
So, yeah, I feel like the Titans publicly have been kind of...
hush-hush about it?
Yeah, pretty hush-hush about it. And their fans are kind of clamoring for answers, and they're really not getting any. But
But so then is it just because teammates are leaving? Is that why that started kind of the fire being seen by fans?
Yeah, and there was a public kind of display of we don't like the team anymore by a bunch of the players.
Crazy. And then with all the contracts, they can't really talk about it that much either.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, that sucks. Hopefully it resolves itself in a good way.
That's why I'm hoping Vancouver Titans, like, it's so weird because they were an expansion team last year in season two, and they brought up, they basically bought the runaway team from Korean Contenders, mm-hmm. and basically dominated Overwatch League for the first two seasons, or first two stages, were toe-to-toe with the Shock, that for the basically the entire season. They did lose to them in the grand finals pretty disappointingly, because they didn't even take a map off of San Francisco in the end. But I thought that was a good team to keep together, though. Like it still baffles me that they kind of blew up that team in the off season.
Yeah, and they haven't tweeted anything in like 6 days.
Yeah.
That is really slow for Twitter. Even I know that much.
Yeah.
Oh.
But that's not even like the best thing is that's not even the biggest news of the week.
Oh, geez.
Of Overwatch League. The absolute biggest news is that the MVP of the league from last year, Sinatra, announced his retirement from Overwatch League mid-season.
What?
So this week, he is moving over to Riot's new shooter, Valorant, with the Sentinels team, who are the former owners of the Gladiators. They do not have any ties to Overwatch League anymore, but that's the same organization that used to own the Gladiators.
Ooh.
So this is pretty huge because Sinatra was one of the first big signings before the league even started. I know ESPN broke the story on that he was getting reportedly $150,000 salary per year to play. And he wasn't even 18 at the time when he was signed. So he didn't even play the first half of season one of 2018 for the Shock.
I'm not jealous.
It's
fine. Good for him.
And then 2019, he really came to form, really dominated, ended the year by winning MVP of the league, ended the year by winning Overwatch League with San Francisco Shock, and ended the year by winning World Cup with the USA team. So, I mean, he is like the star-studded player, the kind of Michael Jordan of Overwatch League, and he is walking away from it all.
How much money did they give him?
That's the question. That is the question.
And he had to break a contract.
Yeah.
With the current team. That's the thing. Like,
I'm sure he had to break a contract.
Oh, man. I want to hear that.
This is something that does happen occasionally in traditional sports. Not necessarily like changing games like this, but like breaking contracts and be like, hey, I don't want to be on this team anymore. I'm bored playing with these guys, or I can't stand playing with these guys anymore. I don't know if that was the case. Because what was interesting, I didn't research this beforehand, but I know he has played very little for the Shock in 2020. I want to say barely a handful of games.
I wonder why. Maybe they kind of knew.
They kind of knew, or the other DPS players were just simply playing better than him.
Like, he had his moment to shine, and now he's kind of just like,
crazy. But yeah. I'm not as like doom and gloom with this move, just because Sinatra hadn't really played a whole lot in 2020 to begin with. But it definitely is a bad look in general for the Overwatch League when your star player is like, peace out, I'm out of here.
Well, like, and that, I remember that happened with Heroes of the Storm, where you'd have like these great teams, but it usually happened at the end of the season. Like, oh, this team, like Team Liquid, was it Team Liquid that won BlizzCon?
Cloud9.
They won, and then all of a sudden, like the next year for the next season, like a lot of the team members in Cloud9 left. I'm like, okay, well, that's not a surprise because the season's over. But here, wow, it's not even. What did they offer him?
I really wish I knew.
And I don't want to be like, oh, he's just a bad teammate and he left, because that's not nice either. Like, we don't know.
No, I would say he's reformed quite a bit from when he was originally brought onto the team. I know. He's basically growing up in front of our eyes.
Oh my gosh.
Which is insane to think about.
We're so old.
I know.
And yet we're not. Wow.
But it's a rough look for the league. And I was trying to find it because the league commissioner actually like talked about a whole bunch of stuff with the league about, because this whole like week and a half has been a lot of complaining in the world of Overwatch League Twitter about multiple things, including hero pools and, oh God, Sinatra is leaving, the world is ending, Overwatch League is done. But yeah, he was really nice. I forget what his name is though. I'm gonna have to look it up eventually. But yeah, there was an official statement basically from Overwatch League being like, thanks Sinatra for being a part of the league and we wish you the best, all that stuff. And
thanks for all the fish.
Yeah. Moving on. Pretty much.
That's insane.
Yeah. No, that's also insane.
It's impressive and also saddening in a way to see one player have that much of an impact. And I say sad in the way that it could go really bad if one player, like, this seems like an okay transition of losing this player, but it also, like, if something bad were to have happened, it could have been like a big detriment.
Yeah, it's kind of a wait and see situation, really, to see what real impact this has. Because I mean, even still, we're probably, I would say, at least 3 to 6 months from like any sort of significant tournaments for Valorant. Because it's still it's a game in beta.
You played it recently. Is it is it worth the shebang?
I think it is for a certain section of people. Like those people who really like CSGO and like kind of the abilities in Overwatch, but want the focus to be more on your accuracy with shooting versus using abilities.
Another Riot game.
Yes. Dun, dun, dun. Another Riot game. Ruining Blizzard's plans. But yeah, I don't know. It still remains to be seen. Valorant obviously is the new kid on the block. So, I mean, we've seen this all the time.
That's true.
Over the years, we saw Apex Legends become really big. And then that kind of settled down into a more reasonable, audience. When everyone was like, oh my gosh, is it the Fortnite killer? And it's like, no, come on.
Oh my gosh. It kind of does look like CSGO.
It really does. It does look like CSGO. It's a little bit of a tangent, but it's really interesting how some people are complaining that there's no blood in the game. And if you know anything about esports, there's a reason for that.
Children.
China.
You were never allowed to do that again.
Oh my gosh, I'm so sorry.
You leaned the mic, didn't you?
I totally did.
I hate you so much. Really?
Yeah. No, they won't show blood on their stuff. You know WoW looks like totally different in China, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, like they don't show skeletons either, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. I think skeletons are allowed, nothing else or something. I don't know. There's a lot of rules.
Yeah, something like that.
Oh, man.
Well, let's go. Let's transition to some positive stuff for Overwatch League. They are changing up quite a bit of the season format just because of all the stay-at-home stuff. They are changing the month of May to being kind of a mini tournament where the first 3 weekends of May, teams will play in regular matches that will seed them into a tournament bracket where at the end of the month, on May 22nd, 23rd, and 24th, they'll play in a single elimination bracket. And the 12th and 13th ranked teams will play a qualifier match to get the final spot in that bracket. So it'll be a lot of fun. It's divided into two separate regions. North America with Atlanta Reign, Boston Uprising, Dallas Fuel, Florida Mayhem, Houston Outlaws, LA Gladiators, LA Valiant, Paris Eternal, Philadelphia Fusion, San Francisco Shock, Toronto Defiant, Vancouver Titans, and Washington Justice, comprising that bracket. And then there will be an Asia bracket because these teams have all moved their players to South Korea. So that's why they're doing that there. So you're going to have Chengdu Hunters, Guangzhou Charge, Hangzhou Spark, London Spitfire, New York Excelsior, Seoul Dynasty, and the Shanghai Dragons. First place teams in each region will take 40K, second place 20K, and then 5,000 for teams and 5,000 for each individual win in the tournament.
Wow, that is a complete overhaul.
Yeah, no, it's a complete like scrapping of kind of what they were planning. It does suck, but they're still counting the regular like the regular season games as for placement in the grand finals, which I mean we're kind of hoping will be a live event, but we'll see if that will be the case in the end.
So why do you think they're doing this all in the month of May? Is it to make up for the games that they lost a while ago?
It's to make up a lot for the games that they lost and to kind of make up for the mid-season tournament that was supposed to happen at this time.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Man.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's more games for you to watch, right?
It is. And I actually...
Today...
Sorry, I got it. talk real quickly about the games this weekend were actually really fun because it was our first week that we got to see Echo. And Echo is super good. And in the hands of skilled players, I get to see things that I would never even be able to dream of doing on that hero.
That is Owl in a nutshell.
Yeah.
How do they do that? That's amazing. That's exciting. Because she was banned last week, wasn't she?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's kind of cool.
I know, and it's really interesting to see what heroes they decide to duplicate with Echo's ultimate.
Oh, yeah. That is so ridiculous.
Yeah. It's pretty cool. But speaking a little bit more about Overwatch League, because there's a lot of kind of cool stuff. If you haven't checked it out, they played this video this weekend, and it's on their YouTube channel. If you Google Working Apart Together Overwatch League, you'll find it. And it's a 7-minute video kind of talking about how they're doing the production remotely and interviewing a lot of the people involved in the production of the show. And it's really cool to see the faces behind everything that's going on through this. It's really incredible. I mean, they have observers and observer directors and production directors and all this stuff. And there's someone who's dedicated to just making clips from plays in the game. So it's a really cool video. I definitely recommend checking it out if you're kind of interested in the nuts and bolts of how they're doing it. And yeah, seeing the casters setup is kind of funny just because they have it. They have it in such a small area for them because of the backdrop is right up against their back. Like even more so than even closer than my green screen is.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
You can literally lean your head back and do that.
Yeah.
They're in a box. But that's kind of neat. And that's the stuff that I love. For example, is when they have the big IT area on the ground floor of, like, all the monitors, how they switch back and forth with, like, the feeds and the streams. So to be able to see behind the scenes is kind of a nice touch and also kind of gives them a chance to brag and how well they've adjusted to working from home. I definitely want to look at after I'm doing that. You know what? This also reminds me. I know we talked about this during the World of Warcraft section, but the Mythic International or Invitationals are also going on. The Mythic Dungeon International. And I watched that a little bit this weekend. And seeing the casters at home, their own little like studios, I was like, man, this is like old school watching, you know, esports back in the day.
It really is. It's funny because like I was watching the League Championship series for North America and seeing them all casting from home was definitely a bit of a throwback.
Well, especially like it makes you appreciate how important lighting is. But you know, I'm not one to talk there. But no, it's kind of neat, and that you know, it's where we're at right now, and we're making it work.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Then what else? Oh, Another fun thing that we found about Overwatch was a fun article that they put out about Echo's sound, particularly how they build her sound. And you were talking about how cool Echo is and changing to all the different heroes. If you go to Blizzard.com on their news page, there's a whole huge article talking about the challenges they had with her, because the first thing they were talking about was how her mechanic of her build is very like jet engine like very smooth, very sleek, very powerful. But they also didn't want to have her sound like mechanical robot gears churning, because she doesn't have those features. So they were talking about some of the ideas they were playing with there. And then they also talked about how much work the voice actress had to put into this. So apparently, and this is a quote from them, Echo's voice actress was responsible for nearly double the amount of voice lines spoken by other Overwatch heroes. So Janine Bolette, who's a voice actress, had a huge challenge, because not only did she have to do all the other characters, she had to do male and female voices and matching the different languages and the cadences?
Yeah.
The cadence of each of them. So I'm like, that is insane. And I know like with Echo, she can duplicate, or what's the term she does?
I think we call it duplicate. Yeah. Duplicate? So she transforms into the other hero, and her ult builds a lot faster mm-hmm. when you're duplicated, and then you can use the ult, and she says the voice line for it. But male and female, in her voice. It's interesting.
Like, I thought they would have just done, like, a generator, like, you know how you can download an app and, like, mm-hmm. you sound like Darth Vader, just talk normally into it. But no, I guess she had to kind of, like, do it her own way and try to mimic those. And, like, I know the voice actors for Overwatch have a lot of lines to read, because whenever we go to the VO panels, they always say, like, oh, well, what's your favorite line? They're like, dude, there's so many, we can't pick one. So that's kind of a neat take on this character and how cool she is. But the amount of work they had to go through for her is really impressive. Like, voice actors are like the celebrities.
Yeah. Because, I mean, Sombra's ult is in Spanish. Lucio's ult is in...
Lucio.
Whatever the language of Brazil is. I can't remember the exact name of it.
I don't know either. Brigitte.
Brig is Swedish, right?
Yeah.
Chinese. Widowmaker is French. Mai is Chinese. D.Va is Korean.
It's not Chinese. Oh. Chinese is no language. It is the M.
Mandarin.
There we go. It's late. Oh, God, it's midnight.
It is. Well, hopefully not for you listening at home.
Oh, yeah. Hopefully you're awake. Who knows? You know, I'm not judging. I'm awake. Diablo news? We didn't really have anything.
Yeah. No, quite.
Diablo Immortals on track.
They did announce the new community manager for Diablo.
Ooh.
So
can we be their friend?
I hope so.
Let's be their friend.
Yeah, because Brandy's, I hate to say it like this, but replacement has some pretty big shoes to fill. But I'm sure they're up for the task. So
let's see. And then StarCraft is all you, babe.
Yeah, StarCraft. they did announce a balance update for StarCraft 2. Biggest thing being for Protoss, they gave a new ability to the Nexus to basically refill the shields faster on a shield battery. And the shield battery is this building you can build that automatically replenishes shields of nearby units. So if your zealots are getting beat up by some zerglings, if they're nearby the shield battery, they'll get those shields back and be able to sustain quite a bit longer.
There's no cooldown for that?
No, and that's why I'm slightly concerned.
How is that not OP already?
So the reason it's not OP is because it does cost 75 energy.
Is that a lot?
That's a lot. The Nexus has 200 energy max.
Oh.
And there's other abilities you're going to want to use on the Nexus as well. So,
okay,
it is another tool for them to be able to counterplay some stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like Zerg is getting kind of nerfed. Like, it's kind of sad to see. I don't believe this is live yet.
No. It's a lot. There's like map changes and everything. There's a lot of updates.
Yeah, this isn't live yet, so.
Yeah.
But no, it's all we don't have to worry about this in DSL yet.
Oh, okay.
Which, you know, and that's by the way, Scarlet is in top 16 in GSL, so we are rooting for her.
Fingers crossed.
Yeah.
That's so fun.
Yeah, I definitely, if you're interested in the notes, they are on the StarCraft II website, StarCraft2.com. There's a breakdown of kind of the thinking behind a lot of these changes, and obviously these are still subject to change, so make your voices heard if you don't like these.
Yeah. And there's a lot of opinions of like, here's why we did this. This is the goal that we tried. So it definitely gives a lot of the background of what their hopes are for these changes. Mm-hmm. Not just like a blanket, you know, here's a stat, you know what we're doing, moving on.
Yeah.
Let's see, next game.
Near and dear to my heart. Here's the Storm. We did have an update today of new skins and mounts that are the Greek mythology kind of themed ones. I think these were leaked a few months ago, but they are finally in game. Tracer and Cassia look fantastic.
Amazing.
They have like a billion color variations of these same skins, but they're really nice.
Tracer has like wings, like what's that one? What's the name of him? The mythological character. Hermes.
Yeah.
Hermes, yeah. She has wings on her hair. She has like the cool lace up sandals. No, Tracer looks amazing. I definitely want to see those color variations.
Yeah, and Cassia is almost like a female Thor kind of Zeus character. Yeah.
She has like a huge like lightning bolt. I think she has lightning. Yeah, she has like lightning bolts in like her quiver almost. Oh, yeah. Man, so good. And then there's a three-headed mount, a three-headed dog.
Yeah, Cerberus.
Oh, he's so creepy. He has bones sticking out from his spine.
He does.
He's a very creepy boy.
He's a creepy boy. Yeah.
But no, it's always fun to get new skins. That's part of like the fun appeal about Heroes of the Storm is having all the different skins and mount themes. Mm-hmm. Now, is it only just those two characters that we have for updates?
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah. Let's see. And then anything for Hearthstone? You mentioned you played it a little bit.
Yeah, I did play a little bit. No updates really since we last recorded.
Mm-hmm. Well, you just did the big thing last time we recorded.
Yeah, the meta is kind of starting to settle into place, I think, and esports tournaments are happening, so I think they don't want to mess with the game too much while that's going on.
Yeah, absolutely.
Unless there's something like absolutely broken.
Like a bug, yeah, exactly. Yeah. Let's see. So my favorite section is the in real IRL loot in real life. I just got this email actually like a day or two ago, and it's the Blizzard is adding more to the Blizzard gear store in the decorate your space category, and they have two new pieces of artwork that you could purchase. And it's different games. The first one is StarCraft 2 themed, or I guess just StarCraft themed, and it is Nova and Kerrigan fighting. And oh, it looks so good. It kind of reminds me of that Blood Elf and the Draenei fighting and like trying to hit each other. Or I had the mouse pad of it. Mm-hmm. It was a Blood Elf trying to attack another Blood Elf, I think it was. And like they're jumping and like hitting and swinging at each other.
Yeah.
But here we have Nova and Kerrigan swinging at each other. It looks amazing. It has cool lights. They're in some like, I don't know, Protoss base or something like that. There's some zergling teeth or claws underneath them as they're in midair. It's super cool. And then there is a new artwork for the Dark Nexus Heroes of the Storm, and it has Deathwing. Oh, he's big. He's standing in the back of the scene, and he is like a monstrous red Deathwing, like flames and lava and smoke coming from his head.
Mm-hmm.
Who's the Protoss character?
Tassadar on the left, and you have Phoenix on the bottom part of the image.
Yes. And so it's a cool stark contrast of like the big red Deathwing and then like the blue Protoss glow from them. Beautiful pieces of artwork if you love those two. Price ranges for these artworks vary from $30 for a matted 8x12 picture to framed or wrapped canvases, all the way up to $150, no, or even $250, depending on what size or type of format you want your artwork to be printed in.
What I find interesting is they've been doing this with a lot of their art pieces lately, where they have these multiple kind of tiers, I guess, based on how much you want to spend for it, because you can definitely get the just the $30 one and frame it yourself.
Yeah, and especially too, like, and we've also had friends that like have like the gorgeous artwork, and it's like, that is so cool, but I do not live in a house to have that yet, so I will buy the $30 piece. And it's still a way to support and frame the work from Blizzard. You don't have to like print it out on your printer. And I kind of like the series that they're doing of these amazing pieces of artwork that we normally wouldn't get, and it's not just stuck in an art book. Because I love me some art books, but I don't go through them often enough. But if it's something gorgeous, I would love to put on the wall. I would almost love to see, like, if they could, with the company, have, like, a website where you can print this through Blizzard. Like, if there's an artwork, like, glossary or gallery.
Yeah.
And then, like, I want this one, I don't know, Hearthstone card.
Look at all just, the artwork on here is so good.
I know. They have Sylvanas and Anduin.
I really want that Birth of the Nephilim art piece. Mm-hmm. That thing, and this is just a small just collection insane.
Artwork. Yeah. So it's like, I kind of wish they would have like an online gallery that you can just kind of print through them and get it from Blizzard. It's kind of nice because you know it's like a quality at that point.
Mm-hmm.
So that's all that was really new from Blizzard gear. And of course, there's always a varying 25% off or 20% off deal. Sign up for the emails, get the notification. By the time we tell you, it's going to be canceled for the new next week, whatever. But always wait for a coupon code from their newsletters to save some extra money.
Same with the Overwatch League store. It's basically the same thing.
Send it for the emails. Let's see. I looked on a few of the other sites I check regularly. Hot Topic, Box Lunch, they don't really have anything new Blizzard related. However, if you took part in the Hot Cash or Lunch Money promotion deals where you spend like you spend $30, you get 15 off. They're doing another session of those. So if you spent $60, you have $30 to save. Check your emails or check on your accounts from Box Lunch or Hot Topic to see if you have some extra cash to spend. I was even looking through those websites. There's nothing really I want to get right now, knock on wood. But you know, it's easy, some extra codes or something like that to get something. Nothing new from Jinx, nothing new from Loungefly. I know that a lot of the companies are also saying that they have a lot of delays in shipping because of all the COVID issues. I do know that with some states, I know some warehouses are sending emails out saying that we are now slowly ramping up shipping on our warehouses because of restrictions and guidelines being followed. So if you do order something, always expect a delay right now. But it's kind of a rat right now. But you got video games to play. Lord knows, I was almost tempted to reactivate my WoW account today. And then you texted me like, hey, let's do the show. I'm like, okay, never mind. I'll play WoW tomorrow. But it's exciting to have at least a huge repertoire of games to play with and kind of as a distraction. And you got your Overwatch League back, which is exciting for you.
Yeah, no, it fills my weekend, so it's pretty nice.
Yeah. And you even ran into somebody that was a Gladiator fan, apparently.
Yeah, I went to Target and I was wearing my LA Valiant jersey, the new one that I got, and saw someone with a Gladiator shirt. So we talked a little bit.
Did they give
you
the stink eye?
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah.
I know how the rivalry is. It's a friendly rivalry.
Yeah. I wore an Overwatch hoodie to the vet appointment for one of my cats last week. And one of the vet texts, she's like, oh, I love your jacket. I'm like, oh yeah, it's this. And she's like, yeah, I play on console with my cousin. And I was like, oh yeah, me too. So it's kind of fun to like wear the nerdy gear when you do go out, and you, like, people do want to talk more and more versus just kind of like noticing and walking by.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it's kind of fun. But I think we covered everything. We had a lot of notes today.
We had it's a been 2 weeks. Long episode too.
We did.
Longer than normal.
Oh, 9 pages of notes. Look at us.
I know.
Like, you know what we're doing.
But yeah, it was a lot of fun. Yeah. that'll be it for this week of the Nexus Podcast with Heather and Jimmy, your breakdown of all the important news in the world of Blizzard Entertainment. NexusPodcast.com for old episodes, as well as on all major podcasting platforms, Spotify, iTunes, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, etc. And keep the conversation going throughout the week with hashtag Nexus Podcast and old video episodes over at youtube.com/DJTyrant. And check us out on Facebook. Search Nexus Podcast there, and you can find us there. And you can find me basically anywhere on the internet under DJ Tyrant, twitch.tv/DJTyrant. I'm playing through Final Fantasy VII Remake.
And I'm H. Sailor Moon anywhere. I talk about cats and yarn.
Yep. But that is going to be our show for this week. Thank you guys for stopping by, and we will see you next time for the Nexus Podcast.